this service. And I'm going to sing a song if the Lord will help us. You'd help us. Sing this for Sister Renee. The holy hill of heaven called me to mansions bright across the sea, where loved ones appreciate your pastor today and the privilege to be among such a precious bunch of people. And thankful that my son and daughter-in-law are here and a part of this church. And it gives me and the wife comfort to know that they're sitting under good preaching, good instructions. Brother Benny done an outstanding job this morning talking about the preaching, a preacher. qualification and feel I have fallen far short, Brother Benny, the calling. Well, I love the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles in Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Luke 7 and 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Now, he didn't think he was. They thought he was worthy. Amen. Wherefore, neither thought I any of myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Amen. The Lord would help us for just a little while. I'd like to look at this centurion here. I'm a little nervous this morning. If you would, stretch your hand and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Father God, please. Please, Lord, I ain't nothing. Please help us tonight. We'll honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We look at this centurion here, who was a man of character, of a high sort, than even what Jesus here was used to seeing. You know, there's not many people, church, who think more of other people than they do themselves. Amen. But this centurion here, he really felt like it. Amen. He felt better about someone else than he did himself here. And that's a little unusual, isn't it, church? Prefer someone else over yourself. Amen. He was a very generous man. You find here in the story, he built the synagogue for these Jews. It would be better, you know, church. You know, generosity is great. It really is. I'd rather, as Christian people, we ought to pay our debts because the world is looking at us. Amen. I'd rather pay my way than to have the name of shirking, wouldn't you? Amen. And could I say, church, it is only generous people that we remember by their generosity. As far as I can find out here, there wasn't but one synagogue in Capernaum, and this centurion here had built it. And really, he didn't have to because he was the ruler here. Amen. And they were really his servants. This servant here that was sick in Luke, here where I read my text, in the Greek, it says that he was probably a Jew servant, and more than likely that he was probably a bond servant.
And so many here that he had his freedom, but he loved this centurion here, and the Bible stated here this centurion loved him so much, amen. And so this servant here no doubt wanted to stay with him. Now, you want to stay with somebody who treats you right, don't you? Somebody that likes you, amen. And so this centurion already had a name among the Jews that he was worthy. Amen. And so not only that, church, but he was also a man of authority. He had a position here, yet there was something about him that he recognized that Jesus had authority over all things. Mark 1 and 22 said, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe." Authority means to have the power or right to command, to act, to enforce obedience, or to make the final decision. Now, that's authority, wouldn't you say? I like to talk to somebody that has the authority to make the final decision. I've talked to a few people, Brother Benny, and I needed some answers, and they run me through this one and that one. Don't you love it when you get on the phone and you need some answers and you just keep getting from one to another till they wear you out and you finally just hang the phone up? Yeah. Yeah. Nobody has the final decision. Nobody has. You know, we like to talk to someone, church, who has the power to act. This is it. Amen. Enforce what we want done. Amen. We ain't seeing much of that in Washington. Mark 1 said, "And they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirit, and they do obey him." Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 21 said, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Now they recognize, they wanted to know here, where do you get the authority to do what you're doing? Huh? Amen. Now, I want you to know, church, we are living in an age of lawlessness. Everybody wanting to do their own thing. If we run the church like the civil government runs the government, there'd be a bunch of Christians in prison today. Amen. I've never seen such a time of disrespect and lawlessness and wanting to do away with. 2 Peter 2, the Bible said, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignity." Now, that's not just talking about the Democrats and the Republicans, but it's talking about any kind of government. Oh, I hope you'll help me today. Whether it be civil government or church government or whether it be government of a family institution, people don't want nobody to tell them what to do. They just, you know, flat out refuse. They hate it, church. They see it as something evil. Amen. You know, he said they are presumptuous and self-willed. Now, you don't get any worse than being self-willed, church. I don't care where you look or what kind of sin it is. Amen. You'll not get any worse than someone that is self-willed. That is the predominant sin of our age. Amen. They think, well, you know, if you don't get your way, you just throw a temper tantrum. Amen. And even grown-ups seem like. I'm reminded in my mind, my neighbor years ago, he got mad at his mom and he decided he, and I may have told this before, but it was worth telling again, I think. He decided, he wanted his way and his mom wouldn't let him, so he decided he's going to kill himself. And he went out in the yard and he was beating his head against the ground. His dad come around the corner and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to kill myself. He said, well, let me help you. He said it didn't take long without that belt. With that belt, he decided he didn't want to die. People not willing to be submissive under authority. And you know, there was a centurion here that noticed something about Jesus. I want to look at it here in our scripture text. For he said, for I also am a man set under the under authority. Now that gives us insight here. Something he's seen about Jesus himself here. Realize what he's saying is, there's a man in Rome named Caesar, and he has sent me here, giving me authority over you all. He said, I've got the authority over every one of you. And everything that I command, it is backed up by Caesar in Rome and by the Roman Empire. And, you know, he could prove to them how much authority that he had because he was in command. And he goes on to say here in verse 8, he said, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. He said, it was given unto me, and I have this authority. Amen. Now, I want you to know, I'm not downplaying the deity of Christ, of Jesus here. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and is the Son of God. And he said, I also have authority. He's meaning he recognized Christ's authority, the supreme authority. Amen. And he realized that Jesus was able to command what he would. Such faith that he had here. In Matthew 28, the Bible said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He holds it all, church. You know, the devil took him upon the pinnacle and told him to cast himself down and said, give his angels a charge over thee to lift you up. But Jesus said it is written. And I'm telling you, church, you know, Jesus knew the authority. And this year, centurion here realized the authority of Jesus. And it makes the difference when we realize where the authority lies. Amen. And so, you know, the writer in Hebrews said, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. Jesus was obedient unto Father, even unto death. Amen. And God gave him the authority, and he had the authority, and he had, even the devils was subject unto Christ. Brother, when he says go, they had to leave because he had the authority to make them leave. Hallelujah. And when he says, there were seven centurions in the Bible, and every one of them presented in a favorable light in the New Testament. And you know why I believe they were men of such discipline? You first got to be able to discipline yourself under the control and under the authority of God before you can be anything for God. They knew how to take orders. They could be under the authority. Anybody that was in the military, my brother, he was in the Marine Corps. And he told me, he said, brother, I thought they would kill me, but I learned to listen to my commander. Amen. The centurion states the fact. He says we must first be, you know, completely under the authority before we have the authority over others. Amen. And so I want to ask us a question this morning. And I may be preaching to myself here this morning. But is the reason we don't have any more authority because we're not under authority? We do what we want to. The preacher preaches the truth from the Word of God, and if we want it, we'll accept it. If not, we just throw it away. Amen. Before you can have authority, you must be under authority. In John 15, Jesus said, If ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Hey, when we place ourselves under God's word, church, that's what abide means. Amen. Placing yourself. Stay right there under the word of God, under what's true, what's right. If you do that, he said, if ye abide in me and my word abide, brother, we need to first learn before we can have any authority. We are going to have to submit ourselves under the authority of God's word. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you having trouble in your marriage? Huh? Having trouble among your family? Are there any trouble in your home? Brother, the reason we have trouble in our homes between husband and wife, our families, amen. I've seen it time and time again. And it's because one of them, or even both of them, are not under authority. Huh? Amen. I've seen in many homes that fall apart since God called me to preach. Family comes to mind somewhere in America, sometime in my past history. A family come to me for help. The marriage was falling apart, 5 children involved. The husband came with a legal pad. He documented all the things that she'd done wrong. And all those years of those 5 children came into being. One of them was in college. One of them was, well, anyhow, very smart family, very educated. But the problem was somebody else had attracted his attention. Another home was broken up. He didn't want to put his home back together. I said, look, I didn't come to hash out who did this and who done that. I come to try to put this home back together. It may start out some little something, church. Then there's the words that cut. And it proceeds to more harsher words. And before you know it, the bonds are broken. Separation takes place. And oh, the bitterness. The pain and the heartache. He threatened her and she threatened him. And on and on it goes. Until finally it ends up in the divorce courts. Regardless of how lawless they may themselves be, church. They realize they must have somebody in authority to rule over. And you won't recognize the man of God and what the word of God says. And God's higher power, amen. But you'll recognize some lawyer or some judge somewhere. Oh, come on, help me here. If the policeman gives you a ticket for some law you've broken and the fine said, you'll pay the fine. Why? Because the court said you had to. Amen. I'm preaching on authority. The court will rule in his favor. The court will rule in her favor. He had to pay X amount. Why? Because the judge said so. Well, I want to tell you this morning, church, we're never going to get right with our relationship with each other until we get right our relationship with God. That's where it all starts. Hey, you iron it all out and divide all the cows and the chickens and you separate the land and try to establish a relationship with when the marriage is going sour. But I'm telling you, we try to do things to pull people back together. But brother, that's not the answer. They need to be under the submissive will of God. God's authority. Amen. Hey, church, some higher power. If you can ever get them under the authority of God, you've got them. Because you're going to do what's right if you're under God's authority. Paul was writing to the worldly, rebellious church at Corinth there in 2 Corinthians 10. And he said, having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, Now, this is what Paul was telling them. Now, this is OWR's commentary, okay? You got to get your act together first. Huh? Yeah. Amen. It's not going to get any better, church, until you first submit yourself under God's authority. Under God's plan. Maybe one of the reasons the children are so disobedient is because mom and dad show themselves that way. Huh? Tear the preacher apart sometimes on the way back home. Amen. Oh, church, I'm going to tell you, this is, you can't say one thing and do another. That don't work no more. You're going to have to do, Paul said, when you fulfill your obedience, then I can correct some of your disobedience. Amen. But you're going to have to do this first. And an old preacher said, people act better at church than they do anywhere else. He said, my heavens, I wonder how they act somewhere else. Huh? You know, when you has something you don't like and you react to it. Amen. I wonder if sometimes our children, our son, our daughter, when we get home and they hear something they don't like and they react. I mean, you know, after all, you taught it to them. You acted like that in front of them. You know, I was raised in a Christian home, and I never know there was ever any church problems at all. And I was taught the man of God is the best friend you ever had outside of Christ. And that's the way it ought to be, church. That's the way it ought to be. Now listen, the Bible said there's a theological discussion in the world, church. And, you know, are we justified by works or by grace? And you can argue and hash all that out till you turn blue, church, but there's another justification in the Bible. It's called justified by words. Be careful with your words. Jesus said in Matthew 12, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the word thou shalt be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. Now, when I got saved, church, I quit cussing. I did. Amen. I even quit repeating secondhand cussing. Huh? Amen. And when somebody does something to you, why don't you do something back? I'll tell you why. Because you're under a higher authority. You're under God's authority. It's not railing for railing, an eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth anymore. The Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. God will even the score. Do what's right. Matthew 5 said, blessed are you when men shall revile you. That's abusive language, church, and persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, I've seen people offended in the house of God. I'm telling you, it ought not be. But, brother, if we take the word of God and the higher authority of God's word, hey, you just let it go on by. After a while, there's some train you got to get out of the way and let that train go on through. But go on for God. Before God saved you and me, amen. You may have wanted to even a score, and you may have even a score. And there have been times I tried to, and I didn't even a score. I got a worser. Amen. But when you get saved, you quit that, church. Hey, when you're trying to live a sanctified life and you want the Holy Ghost to dwell within you, you're going to watch these things. You'll guard and your actions and your emotions, and you'll give honor to God and let God handle something. Hey, you know, my dad, and I've said it many times, my dad, there was some things, Brother Benny, that I seen that wasn't right among people that supposed to be Christians, amen. And I pointed it out to my dad, and my dad said, son, I've seen a lot of things come and go, but I prayed over top of every one of them. I'm telling you, church, when we yield our lives to God and His authority, I belong to Him, and I'm not my own anymore. I'm under His authority, and so are you if you're a child of God. I can't give people a piece of my mind and lash out at them and try to even the score. And I know they was a friend of mine told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I can forgive a lot easier once I get even." I'm telling you, we don't even the score. God evens the score. A little more and I'm going to close. Somebody get us a song. If you, my friend, provoke it, you're just as guilty. Amen. James said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I didn't mean to make you quiet this morning. The heart and the tongue is an act, a reaction of one another, church. It really is. A little more. James 3:10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. Now, if you fight all day and come to church and expect the blessings of God, forget it. Huh? You're not going to help much. The Bible said in Matthew 5, first be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. And I've thought of it many a time, and I'm sure you heard old brother Joe Beal tell about it. He said he spoke a little harsh to Sister Evelyn on his way to church one day. Said the service was going good and people were getting in and worshiping and blessings of the Lord were flowing. He said, but old Joe Beal didn't feel nothing. He said, I went back to my precious wife. And I said, darling, will you forgive me? He said, I almost shouted all the way back up to my other seat. I'm telling you, church, we've got to get under God's authority before we can be a help to others. God bless you. My little simple message to you this morning. I hope I didn't worry you, Brother Benny.
Thank you, Brother Roger. Let's stand.